All right, thank you so much, Reverend Ken Gibson. Those lovely music as we were just waiting for our Sunday morning service. Let me preface that the topic today is compassion, which was an idea given to me by Jacqueline Eckhart, who called me on Wednesday and said, would I stand in for her because she couldn't make it today. Today is Jacqueline Eckhart's regular day for being our Sunday morning minister. She has to travel to pick up, I think, her grandson. So I'm always here to be truly helpful. So first words that came out of my mouth is, sure, of course I'll do it. And that's pretty much what our topic is today. I did ask her what her topic would have been, and she said compassion, so we're going to continue that here today. So the first order of this morning is compassion to, with compassion, greet all the wonderful people who are joining us here this Sunday morning for Sunday morning service at Awakening Together, and I send this same welcome and thank you for joining us to all who may be listening here on Awakening Together Radio. So without further ado, I'm just going to turn this mic back over to you for some music while we greet and meet each other. You might say you're embracing each other with your love and your with and with your blessings. Today's lesson happens to be holy, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. So this is a good time to do it. Okay.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the rent of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in, everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
All right, thank you so much, Lynn, for that beautiful music. Always wonderful. We start out, as usual, with the purpose of Awakening Together as a community, which I'm going to post here for all of us to read together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, awakening to one true self, within an appearance of many faces, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Wow. That is just so beautiful. One truth. And, you know, truth is really your happiest accomplishment. It really is. I'll speak a little bit more about that very shortly. And of the five core themes, the one that seemed to go perfectly with this morning's sharing on compassion and being helpful and supporting each other is number one, which basically says we trust that everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. There's a lot of ones in there. One experience, one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So we do that by supporting or helping. We're all here for and with each other. That is always true. That's about the one thing you can say that is always true, even if we're conscious of it or not. Even if we're conscious of it or not. Let's see. I guess the next thing is announcements. And I do have some announcements here. Members are currently invited to vote for two new members to join the member board of trustees. You may vote anytime between now and July 3rd. You should have received a link to an electronic ballot in email on June 16. However, if you did not get that mail or if you misplaced it, email Regina@awakening-together.org and request a link to the electronic ballot. All right. This month's Movie Watchers group has been rescheduled. Instead of tonight, we will discuss this month's movie, Little Buddha, during the Gentle Healing group on Tuesday night. This felt convenient because the movie is also part of the week's Gentle Healing homework. So if you haven't had time to watch Little Buddha, you still have two more days. Feel free to come to the Gentle Healing group and share about your experience with the movie, even if you're not part of the Gentle Healing group. Yep. Even if you haven't done your regular homework, if you watch Little Buddha, please come and share on it. That group, of course, meets on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. West Coast Time. And finally, join us tonight in the sanctuary for a special 90-minute edition. Usually starts at 9 p.m. Tonight is going to start at 8:30. A special 90-minute edition of Regina's mini-series beginning at 8:30. East Coast time, 5:30 on the West Coast. Regina will spend 90 minutes replaying and sharing from last year's Ellie Ruzdar audio. It happens to be a great series. If you'd like to donate to support this mini-series, go to awakening-together.org and click donate. Support the current mini-series per Regina's request. 100% of donations made to support this miniseries will go to the Retreat House fundraising campaign, which I know is really doing really well. And of course, if you'd like to donate and help get it up to 100%, that would be wonderful. So those are the announcements. I have one more, which Regina says, say whatever you want to say about the Weekend of Freedom Retreat, which is coming up October 5, 6, 7, and 8. in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. The topic there is you can trust your true self. You can trust your higher self. And we have as our presenters Regina Doornakers will be one of the presenters, along with John Mundy, Maureen Muldoon, Jennifer Hadley, John Mark Stroud. Donna Marie Carey will be our Saturday evening entertainment with her band. And of course, Donna Marie Carey is the great lyricist of the Miracles community. She's been around for, as long as I've been, as far as I know. Oh yes, and Laurie Coburn is our sixth teacher. We just added Miguel Silva, who will be doing Reiki for anyone who would like to have some Reiki. I'd like to just say that the venue itself, I was there this past Easter just to visit. The venue is just magnificent. The views from the top of the mountains is just, without parallel, at least here on the eastern seaboard. Last year we went to the Rockies, and that was pretty good too. But there's something else about the ambiance here. It's a retreat that's owned by Ravi Sri Sri Shankar, who of course is from India. He does do once a year he comes here. But everything basically is done in his style. The food is Ayurvedic vegetarian. There's an Ayurvedic spa. They practice meditation. Anyone can enter into their meditation guidance class and just. So all are invited. You can find out more about it by just going to awakening-together.org and go to events. And under events, you'll see, if you can't make a decision right now, actually a very small deposit will hold your space all the way to almost the end of September. In case you want to change your mind, if you do change your mind, you get your deposit back. Okay, I think that's pretty much it for the announcements and everything else. Remember, to vote if you haven't voted. I know I just voted this past week, and it was really wonderful. And again, if you want to share in the gentle healing evening on Tuesday night, and you haven't been doing your homework, you can just take a look at the movie Little Buddha, and you're invited to come and share on it. The person who usually does the movie night, which is usually tonight, is Jacqueline Eckert. And Jacqueline, of course, she couldn't be here today, which is why she gave me a call and said, would I be willing to stand in for her? And I said, sure. And again, I asked her, was there a theme you had? And she said, yes, compassion. And I asked her, was there a reading that maybe she had prepared for that theme of compassion? And she said, no, I hadn't selected the reading yet. So I did ask for some guidance, and up came the section from A Course in Miracles, which for many years I've said this one page and a half actually covers the entire Course in Miracles. You find it in chapter 16. In the introduction, it's called True Empathy. And of course, Course uses empathy, which is another word for compassion, literally. But there's two kinds of empathy or compassion. There's the ego's empathy and compassion, and then there's when you really don't want to take anything from your past, which is the ego's idea of compassion. It's spirit's empathy and compassion. And that's what I've asked Cheryl, right here, Cheryl Kaplan, to do the reading from that chapter 16 section in the introduction. She's going to be reading from paragraph 1 through 5. And I think one of the most important parts of it is where it has in italics, I need do nothing except not to interfere, which is the overall part of this reading. You don't want to interfere with your guest, which is God's teacher given to you. So without further ado, I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, Cheryl Kaplan, and we'll be back shortly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dov. Good morning, everyone. So again, I am reading from chapter 16, The Forgiveness of Illusions. First part is True Empathy. And for those who want to read along with me, I am in the FIP version. I am on page 330. To empathize does not mean to join in suffering, for that is what you must refuse to understand. That is the ego's interpretation of empathy, and is always used to form a special relationship in which the suffering is shared. The capacity to empathize is very useful to the Holy Spirit, provided you let Him use it in His way. His way is very different. He does not understand suffering, and would have you teach it is not understandable. When He relates through you, He does not relate through your ego to another ego. He does not join in pain. Understanding that healing pain is not accomplished by delusional attempts to enter into it and lighten it by sharing the delusion. The clearest proof that empathy, as the ego uses it, is destructive lies in the fact that it is applied only to certain types of problems and in certain people. These it selects out and joins with. And it never joins except to strengthen itself. Having identified with what it thinks it understands, the ego sees itself and would increase itself by sharing what is like itself. Make no mistake about this maneuver. The ego always empathizes to weaken. And to weaken is always to attack. You do not know what empathizing means. Yet of this you may be sure. If you merely sit quietly and let the Holy Spirit relate through you, you will empathize with strength and will gain in strength and not in weakness. Your part is only to remember this. You do not want anything you value to come of a relationship. You choose neither to hurt it nor to heal it in your own way. You do not know what healing is. All you have learned of empathy is from the past. And there is nothing from the past that you would share, for there is nothing from the past that you would keep. Do not use empathy to make the past real, and so perpetuate it. Step gently aside and let healing be done for you. Keep one thought in mind and do not lose sight of it, however tempted you may be to judge any situation, and to determine your response by judging it. Focus your mind only on this. I am not alone, and I would not intrude the past upon my guest. I have invited him, and he is here. I need do nothing except not to interfere. Dances, it's in chapter 16, in the first part, The Forgiveness of Illusions, and I'm now beginning chapter 4, or paragraph 4, I'm sorry, on page 331. Let me repeat what we are to focus our mind only on. I am not alone, and I would not intrude the past upon my guest. I have invited him, and he is here. I need do nothing except not to interfere. True empathy is of him who knows what it is. You will learn his interpretation of it if you let him use your capacity for strength and not for weakness. He will not desert you, but be sure that you desert not him. Humility is strength in this sense only, that to recognize and accept the fact that you do not know is to recognize and accept the fact that he does know. You are not sure that he will do his part, because you have never yet done yours completely. You cannot know how to respond to what you do not understand. Be tempted not in this, and yield not to the ego's triumphant use of empathy for its glory. And now for the last paragraph. The triumph of weakness is not what you would offer to a brother. And yet you recognize no triumph but this. This is not knowledge. And the form of empathy which would bring this about is so distorted that it would imprison what it would release. The unredeemed cannot redeem. Yet they have a redeemer. Attempt to teach him not. You are the learner. He is the teacher. Do not confuse your role with his, for this will never bring peace to anyone. Offer your empathy to him, for it is his perception and his strength that you would share. And let him offer you his strength and his perception to be shared through you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for that reading. Yeah, I have said for many years now that one section literally encapsulates the entire Course in Miracles, at least for me, maybe not for some others, but that's my experience, that when we are willing to step back and let him lead the way, because we don't really know the way. It came to me this week, I guess, as Holy Spirit kind of strengthened me for today, to recognize why Holy Spirit was given to us as our teacher. When at the very beginning it says, a tiny mad idea entered into the mind of the Son of God, entered into eternity, and the Son of God remembered not to laugh. He took it seriously. Of course, God, the Father, he didn't take it seriously. He immediately gave more than the nature of God. The Son of God thought that he could throw away. That's happy. In body form, when we identify with the body, we are deceived, because the world that we made was made as a deception against the truth. So the reason we need to step back and allow Spirit to lead the way is that Spirit is never deceived by form, by the body, by the belief in separation. We are. That's why you have all those questions. So how about this and how about that? And all those questions are always about the belief in separation. Truth is that we do not know what anything is for. At least as long as we see ourselves as a body, separate and apart, and using the body's eyes and ears to look out into a world to see other bodies as separate and apart. Today's lesson in the course is lesson 176, which is a review of lessons 161 and 162. And I took a look at 161, which I wasn't really all that familiar with. And Spirit had my eyes fall very quickly on paragraph 8. The name of the lesson is, Give Me Your Blessing, Holy Son of God. And my eyes fell on paragraph 8. I'm going to read it because I think it is so perfect for today's sharing. Paragraph 8 says, Who sees a brother as a body, sees him as fear's symbol, and he will attack because what he beholds is his own fear external to himself. So he's looking at himself, his fearful self. He sees another body who's into survival, who's into fear, who's into distrust, and he feels that that's the way all bodies are. You know, we're all out for survival. To elbow each other out. To get to the top of the heap. Going back to the reading here. He will attack because what he beholds is his own fear external to himself, poised to attack and howling to unite with him again. Mistake not the intensity of rage, projected fear must spawn. It shrieks in wrath and claws the air in frantic hope that it can reach to its maker and devour him. Now, you might say that's a horrific paragraph. Yeah, it is horrific. But that's what happens when we see others as bodies. We kind of, we're pathological screamers trying to survive, howling, trying to get ours before they get theirs, which is the exact opposite of the golden rule, that what I give to myself. It's funny that this came up because this past week, and this is not a political comment, so please do not take it as a political comment. I was listening to one of the cable news commentators on MSNBC, and I guess it came out the day that President Trump said that there are no tapes. There never was any tapes. So a lot of people say, well, why did you even mention that there are tapes? So this commentator said, actually, President Donald Trump is a pathological liar. Now, I didn't know exactly what he meant by that, because I don't know what the word pathological is, but he went on to say, a pathological liar is someone that thinks that everybody is lying. So, he lies too. It's not that he knows he's lying when he's lying, he just sees that everybody else does the same thing. For instance, at the very beginning of President Obama's administration, he questioned whether President Obama was a citizen of the United States, questioning and thinking that he was a liar. And I'm not going to go further with that particular thing, but it came to me that that's the truth for me. If I cheat, if I lie, if I steal, I think that others lie, cheat, steal. I can't be trusted. They can't be trusted. That's pathological. You might say, well, it's psychological or whatever. You know. But that's the exact same thing that this is saying. Paragraph 8, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. Today is lesson 161. We're doing the review. Who sees a brother as a body sees him as fear simple. Yeah, you're seeing in this brother what you think about yourself. That's why the love of God, our Father, gave us a teacher who is not deceived by form. What webs we weave when we set out to deceive. Yes, we weave a web where we see everybody else in this web, caught up in this web, is the same as us. And yes, because we made this web out of deception and deceit, we think that everyone is part of the same game. There's no blame or shame in any of this. None. None whatsoever. Yes? Simplicity is of God. And then he says, simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. Yeah, the mind that is twisted by deception and deceit is going to see the opposite of everything in this world. That's why you need a teacher of truth, a teacher of truth to actually point to the truth. Teacher of truth doesn't see our brother as a body, doesn't see our brother as somebody who needs something in this world. I think one of my all-time favorite one-liners in the course, I just want to mention here, comes from lesson 44. Let me see if I can put it up. The original word in the first word is not truth, it is salvation, but I put the word truth because for me truth and salvation are the same thing. I don't get really confused by words. They're all pointing to the same meaning. Truth is your happiest accomplishment. It's also the only one that has any meaning. I love it. But this next part of the sentence, you got to really fall in love with. Because it's the only one that has any real use to you at all. So those teachers, and there's many teachers here in this room, say, yeah, I'm driven by wanting to know the truth. Yeah. Because it's either you want the truth or you want to live in a lie. That's why when Cheryl Kaplan was reading True Empathy, he kept repeating over and over again, you do not want anything from your past to come of your relationships. You do not want anything you value to come of your relationship. Nothing from the past that you would keep. So Spirit is bringing the pure remembrance of what God created. The other lesson happens to be for today's review. I am as God created me. God doesn't create bodies, doesn't create separation. No, we made that, and as long as we see bodies, then we're pretty much stuck in seeing and believing in separation. That kind of means that we're the same psychological, pathological wires that you might think somebody else is. We like to blame and shame people who are in high office and say, well, you know, he's a liar. Of course, whenever you say anything about anyone, you're always speaking about yourself. You're always speaking about yourself. That's why the body's eyes and ears cannot be counted on at all, because they will be deceived by what they think is true. And then they'll go out and broadcast it and make headlines out of it and say, look at that. He's a pathological liar. But in this world, if you think that you're a body and you think that other people are bodies and other people need help and you're going to use your past understanding of what help is to help others, you know, because you think that they need the same kind of help that you do, or you did, I should say, you finally come to a place where you realize that you're still doing the same thing over and over again. The one place in the Course, and I know many of the people here use it when they come to the microphone to teach, it comes from page 28. It's in italics. It's the last part of the special miracle principle, the miracle workers. There are seven of them. And this particular thing was not given as part of the original seven miracle principles for miracle workers, which you'll find on page 27 and 28. It was given actually when Bill Tedford had to give a talk in New Jersey to a group of colleagues, and he felt afraid. He felt that the others would judge him for something that he might have said that is not true or wrong or whatever. And he had a lot of stuff going on about it. And when Jesus was speaking to Helen, he says, give this to Bill for him to contemplate before he speaks, and then he'll be okay. And of course, most of you know it pretty well. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent him who sent me. Why don't we take a look at these line by line, because each line, I had me look at some work by Robert Perry, and he said the exact same thing. Each line here should be contemplated on its own, as Regina teaches us how to contemplate each sentence, each paragraph. So each line here, each sentence should be contemplated on its own. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I remember I said that some time ago, and somebody asked, who are you being truly helpful to? Who are you being truly helpful to? Which is a great question, by the way. And it always thinks that, yeah, I'm being truly helpful to others, and that's true. I think I got to this particular topic because not too long ago I was looking at my life, you know, how your life passes before you. I'm not really quite ready for last rites yet, but I said, what was my life all about anyway? And it was just given to me that my life is all about, I'm here to be truly helpful. That's pretty much, as Regina once said to me, when I was running ACIM Gather for about 10 years, and I was about the only admin in the room at the time, she said, this must be your calling. And actually, it is. My calling is to be truly helpful. And to be truly helpful comes in many forms, and we're going to take a look at that. But the answer to who you're being truly helpful to, and if you have the idea that you're being truly helpful to others, remember that line in the Course that says, there is nothing outside of you. This is what you must ultimately learn. So in truth, we're really being truly helpful to ourselves. This next line is the discernment between who is being helpful within you. It says, I'm here to represent him, capital H, him, who sent me. So that's pretty much what Cheryl Kaplan was reading from True Empathy. Because if you're here to represent that part of yourself that thinks of you as a body and sees others as bodies and sees others as needy and sees others as victims and sees others as helpless, you're pretty much teaching yourself that that's who you are, and you're going to join with them. As he says, you must refuse to join in your brother's illusions. He says, I'm here to represent him who sent me. Yeah, that's the discernment between who is my teacher. Which ladder am I climbing? The ego's ladder to be the be better and the best? Or am I on spirit's ladder that sees my brother as myself? And I think these next couple of lines are so soothing and comforting to all who read it. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. My goodness gracious. I don't have to be concerned with it. Yeah. You know, it's been said that you always teach what you most need to learn. We always teach what we most need to learn. That's a line out of the course. And after it's all said and done, for me at least, I know this is true for many, what we most need to learn is to develop trust. Trust in our true self. How to see that I can trust my true self. As he says in Lesson 47, if you're trusting in your little small self, you have a lot to be anxious about. Who are you to be trusted? You can't be trusted. After all, he can call you a pathological liar. But if you're trusting in true strength, God is the strength in which I trust, which is your own strength, your true strength, then actually you are saying, I do not know what anything is for. Let me step back and let him lead the way. That's like the big pause that Rev. Mary Gerhard Lenihan speaks about. Pause. Let me step back, step aside, and let inspiration lead. Yes, same thing as in Lesson 155. I will step back and let truth lead the way. That which knows truth is not deceived by forms or figures in a dream. And finally, we get to the last two sentences. I'm content to be wherever he wishes, knowing that he goes there with me. And the key word here is content. I like the story that I tell often on this. Wayne Dyer was asked to speak at a meeting that he just happened to drop in at. It was actually being run by, I think, Ruben Spira and a few others who were running a meeting, and they asked him to speak anyway. And they asked him, if there was one thing in this world that you would cherish, what is it? And he thought about it for a moment. He says, to be content. And what is content? It's to be peaceful. It's to be totally complete, satisfied, totally complete and totally satisfied. That there's nothing I need to do. I am content. Of course, the opposite of content is discontent. Yeah, and that's the ego. The ego is the seat of discontent, of needing more. Always needing more, always needing something that it doesn't have, always thinking there's something that others have that it doesn't have. No, to be content is to rest in God, literally. Knowing that I'm content to be wherever he wishes kind of reminds me of Susan Braverman. She used to teach for a number of years. She was here in this room a couple of times. And she used to start all of her teachings by singing this paragraph. I always loved the way she says, I'm content to be wherever he wishes. I did ask Lynn last night. Regis had a recording of it. I sent it off to Lynn. I said, Lynn, in case I need it, do you mind playing it? And she said, no, she'll play it. So, Lynn, I don't know if you're ready to it, but let me just complete this, because she sings it so beautifully, knowing that she's content to be wherever he wishes. And the truth about is that wherever you are, whether you're here at the microphone, or you're here in the room, or you're in Timbuktu, it doesn't really matter. You are where he wishes, knowing that he goes there with you. And I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. Now, I'm not the healer. I'm not the doer. I need do nothing except not to interfere. Let me step back and let him lead the way. Len, do you have that? That is, it only takes like 1 minute, and I think you'll love it. It's you don't have it. Okay. Very good. Yeah, it's just Susan Braverman singing in a really beautiful... Bob DeWater says that she remembers it. I would attempt to do it, but you don't really want... Well, Lynn has her hand up, so let's see. Lynn, maybe you do have it. I sent it in the email last night. Hold on.
I did not see it in the email last night, but I'm going to sing it for you. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, for he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. I am healed as I let him teach me to heal. All right, here's the mic back, Dove.
That is so beautiful. I'm so glad that Spirit inspires you to sing it directly live. That was not Memorex. That was live. Thank you so much. That was so sweet and so beautiful, and it's so perfect because that one thought held in mind that I need not know what to say or what to do. I will be given what to say and what to do. That's the same thing as you find in the final lesson of this course, which of course takes 5 days, lessons 361 through 365. And at the end, the italics say, Holy Spirit, I put you in charge at my request, knowing the direction that you lead brings me peace. That's the goal of this course. The goal of this course is not knowledge or understanding. The goal of this course is peace. Knowing the direction you lead brings me peace. If it's a word I need, that will be given. If it's a thought, that will surely be given as well. And if it's a still and tranquil mind, that is mine also. So, we're really given, and for me, you know, most of you know that my mantra lesson pretty much says the same thing. Lesson 25, I do not know what anything is for. That's the royal invitation to one that is given to you by your Father to remember the truth of what you are. The truth of what we are is the same as the truth of what my brother is. I was about to say that I came to this particular topic. I think I did say it earlier. I came to this topic simply because I looked at my life and said, what was my life all about? And I said, well, I've been here to be truly helpful, and I'm going to do something I don't normally do a lot of, which is talk about my life, but some of you might find it of interest. I'm going to put this up over here. I put this up here earlier. Truth is your happiest accomplishment. It's the only one that has any meaning to you, because it's the only one that has any real use to you at all. The idea of giving meaning to anything in this world is the ego's idea. Meanings become beliefs, and all the illusions that we have is nothing more than an investment in our beliefs, that we believe something is true. Well, I'm a body, you're a body, they're bodies, they're good, I'm bad, I'm good, they're bad. All those are beliefs. They all come out of the idea that I did this to myself. And that's true. I did this to myself. That is the secret of salvation. And why did I do it to myself? Out of self-denial. Self-denial. Because if you deny a brother his blessing, you're going to be denying yourself. And as a body that's trying to survive, I guess I want the blessing rather than my brother getting the blessing. But that's why today's lesson, review lesson, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God, is the idea that if I truly want to see my brother as myself, which is the idea that Spirit sees my brother not as a body, but as the Christ, as this spiritual being, this eternal being that is pure, that is perfect exactly the way they are. But on the way to getting here, we're not all here at the same time, you might say, we do have to go through different levels of thinking, I'm here to be truly helpful. If you are using Spirit as your guide, you will be truly helpful. There's no two ways about it. If you're using ego as a guide, guess what? You're still going to be truly helpful. That's why the topic today I call, we are all here to be truly helpful. We are all here to be truly helpful. And I can say that because I realize, as many of you do, that even people who trigger us, people who slam the door in our face, who hang up, who say the wrong things to us, who reject us, who betray us. Yes, Jesus taught that betrayal was impossible. Yes, even the people that may still be under direct influence of the ego are our teachers, because they are pointing out, if we've been upset or angered, that we're seeing something that's not there. So I can ask, what is this for? I don't know why this is happening. And you go into the teacher because your purpose is truth, to know what it's for, because you don't want to make it up what it's for. It will be shown to you. And it's always hiding. It's always covering up something within ourself that needs healing. And I can tell you that this has always been true for me. Every time I ask, what is this for? It happened just yesterday, the other day. I was at the farmer's market, and my wife asked me to stand in this long line. There was only one guy there selling fresh fish right from the ocean. And she knows exactly what she wants, because she's the one that prepares it on Saturday night. I don't. And then she went off and did other things, was getting fruits and vegetables, whatever it is that she was getting. But as I got closer to the counter, I noticed I didn't know what to ask for. I figured maybe she'll take cod or scallops or this, but I didn't know exactly what she wanted. And I started looking for her, and I couldn't find her. I couldn't see her. I mean, we're going to scream, Suzanne, where are you? I'm looking like a fool. So by the time she came, I already let the person behind me go because, I mean, I didn't know what to ask for. And by the time she came over, I said, you know, I had to let someone else go in front of me. And she said, well, why are you upset? And I didn't really know why I was upset. I was really speaking to her in a loud voice. Where were you? You know, I mean, you left me here. But there's no blame or shame there. So I said, I'm going to ask, what is this for? And I did ask, what is this for? And up came for me that, yeah, there's a part of me that doesn't want to look silly, doesn't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. And that's what that was all about. I was really into it. I was really into my ego's trying to save face. As soon as I saw it, just as soon as I saw it, it was really gone. And later she said, why were you upset? I said, I can tell you, but it really doesn't mean anything anymore. So the people that trigger you, and it could be your own spouse, it doesn't really matter, usually is your spouse, they are really the messengers. They're really, really doing something to help you, to support you in healing. Yes, we're all being healed together. We're all here with each other and for each other. We're here with each other and for each other. I think there's a line in the thing just before you get to this on page 28, I'm trying to find it. But basically he says, in time, we are all here with each other and for each other. And that is the truth. I thought of the many times that I was here for other people, and I thought I was helping someone, and was always myself that I was helping. It really is only one self. I could go over some of those things. There was a time that, well, there was Jacqueline Eckert who called and said, would I be willing to take her place today? And I said, sure. You know, Dove is always here to be with and for anyone that comes and asks, would you do this? I always say, sure. A lot of that came from my original training at EST, where I did not only the S training, but I took an extra 6-month training called the Guest Seminar Leaders Training to lead guest seminars for people who want to know about S. And the one thing I knew about Werner Erhard is if he's going to let me represent him who sent me, he's not going to let me stand in front of a crowd and saying silly, stupid things. So the 6-month training was really about getting my ego out of the way. The funny thing is, at the end of the training, the person who was in charge of it said, David, do you want to be a guest seminar leader now? And I said, no. She said, well, don't worry about it, David. Wherever you go, you will always be a guest seminar leader. Little did I know what that meant. That was in 1977. That's the same year I found the Course in Miracles. 3 years later, I was in John Mundy's home on New Year's Eve, 1980, and a gal named Giselle Laspro, at 1 minute after midnight in the new decade of 1980, says, you know, let's start a Course in Miracles group in my home. And David, why don't you lead it? And my mind was screaming, what are you, crazy? You can't lead this. You haven't even finished the workbook. You never opened the textbook. You don't even know what the course is saying. But out of my mouth came the words, okay, I'll do it. Because only the ego thinks that you can't do something. Only the ego sees you as not worthy, as not enough. But when you get the ego out of the way, your true worth is always speaking to you. That's spirit without the idea of deception. A couple of years later, I realized that the 25 people who attended that first gathering of Course in Miracles, which she held every Monday night, they all thought that I knew something that they didn't know, and everyone was filled with questions, and they wanted to know what I thought of this and what I thought of that. And somewhere I realized that I wasn't really giving them what it is that a course is really for. I was just answering questions. And it came to me, and I can't even say that I asked Spirit for it, but it came to me, why don't you let each one take their place among the teachers, let them each be a moderator for an evening. I got to tell you, the people that used to ask all the questions became the most powerful teachers. One guy, who's a rear admiral in the Navy, Robert O'Donnell, invited me to the United Nations about 3 years later, and he's sitting at this table, it's about, it could be 100 feet long, I don't know. There's 50 countries sitting around it, they're all reading A Course in Miracles, and he's sitting at the head of the table, and he's teaching A Course in Miracles, and he's one of the people that asks the most questions until he took his place among the teachers. So, what is it that you do when you help somebody? You're not really looking to help like the ego wants to help, like to keep them weak and join with them in the illusion. You look to empower them to empower themselves. You look to empower them to empower themselves. Because we are all of the same nature, the nature of God. To remember this is to become responsible, to become cause in your own healing. And until you cross over that line, Dr. David Hawkins' levels of consciousness, that 200 level, that's the level of being responsible. Until then, you can't really empower yourself. You always think that someone else has something that you don't have. So, what I've done over my lifetime, I think pretty much, I'm thinking of the different things that have happened. I'm thinking right here in this room. Well, before Pal Talk existed, there was the internet came, and we were on the AOL Teachers of God. There was no microphone in those days. We only taught by texting in the room. Everybody texted. That was the way we taught. There was no microphone. And that was pretty good. We did that from 1998 to about 2003. And then along came a guy named Gary Renard, who just came out with a new book, Disappearing the Universe. I never heard of it. But John Mundy called me up and said, hey, come to New York and come spend some time with this guy, Gary, from New England, from Maine. And I did, and I got there early that day. Usually I get there late. I got there early. And I started talking to Gary and said, hey, Gary, how would you like to come teach at Teachers of God on AOL? He said, sure. And he came, and in those days, AOL was a private membership. I guess you remember those days. And he had a pretty big following. He had, as some of you remember, Disappearance of the Universe on Yahoo boards back then. There was no Facebook in those days. So the people started sending angry letters. Why are you on AOL? Why aren't you on the internet where everybody can join and listen? You know, you're in a place that only members who are AOL members. And I kind of felt, you know, the anguish. It's very funny because 2 weeks later, I invited David Hoffmeister, who I also just met, to come and teach. And I got the same blast from his followers who said, you know, why are you on AOL? You know, why aren't you on the internet? So I said to Linda Card, who was my co-host at the time, and she said, yeah, let's go to the internet. And I was familiar with Pal Talk. That's how we got here. Then we got here. And the funniest thing for us is if I wasn't doing what it is that I could to support others, probably we wouldn't be here on Pal Talk. And it wasn't too much later than that, it was about the same year, 2004, when we started here, that I happened to do a one-time preach, because I don't ever really go to David Hoffmeister's Yahoo group. Basically, he didn't allow others to post there, so I didn't go there. But that one day, I went to what was on David Hoffmeister's bulletin board, his Yahoo group board, And there was this letter from Regina Dorn Akers. She was up in Boston still working in her professional life there, still in the business world. And I took a look at what she was writing. I said, wow, and I did whatever I could to get in touch with her, and I got in touch. I said, how about posting some of these things on the Peace of God, which is the board that, at ACIM Gather we had as our bulletin board. And she said, okay. She said, and she would send me some of the things by email to post for her. And finally, in May of 2005, I said, you know, how would you like to teach here at, you know, at ACM Gather? And well, so I think she started, I think the day was May 1, 2005. And, very quickly she saw the power of teaching, the power of developing trust in your higher self. And very quickly, she went from one session a week to, I think she was doing 3 or 4 sessions a week. That shows you the passion for developing trust in your true self. The same year with Lisa Natoli came, and she also started with one session, and very quickly she was doing 3 or 4 sessions, and so many came. It was the next year that Regina contacted me and said, would you mind if I did this thing that I'm receiving from Holy Spirit called Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament? She said, I asked Phil Frisk, I'm asking you, and if either one of you say no, I'm not going to do it. And of course, Dov always says, yes, sure. Because I didn't give any meaning to it. A lot of people at the time gave meaning to it and said, well, how could you have an interpretation of the New Testament when ACM Gather is dedicated to A Course in Miracles? But Dove doesn't really give a lot of meaning to form. So I said, sure. And you know the rest of that story. A couple years, Phil Frisk did the website for her, did all the technical work. And of course, he created that website that still exists for holyspirit.org, which is the home of NTI. A couple years later, and I also said that I would be helpful maybe in finding a publisher. And the first person I went to was someone that I knew from way back at S, who was he was an agent for authors finding publishers. And I thought for sure that he was the one. And I remember Regina sent him a FedEx copy of the manuscript, and he rejected it. And I said, geez, I don't know what this is for. I really don't know what this is for. I mean, he was my one idea, but I knew that somehow trust, if I really totally trusted, it was going to be given to me. Little did I know that I was going to receive a phone call in about a week from Robert and Mary Stalting from what's the name of their group? They asked me to do them a favor. They Pathways of Light. Thank you so much, Regina. They asked me if I would help this woman, Nuke Sanchez, who was about to come out with a book, Take Me to Truth, if I would help her by putting her on ACIM Gather and letting her speak to the miracle community at Gather. I said, well, sure, she can come here. So I got on the phone with Nuke, and I think in those days she was still in the same place. She's down in New Mexico. And I said, tell me a little about your book. And she says, well, this was, I think, March of 2008. She says, it's going to be published, I think she said, September 23rd of this year. I said, really? Who's your publisher? Because I knew enough about publishing to know that if somebody said 6 months ahead of time he gave you the date it's going to come out, that's pretty good. And she says, well, it's O Books of London. I said, how would you like to get in touch with a friend of mine, Regina Dorn Akers? She's also looking for a publisher. And Well, you know the rest of that story. Old Books of London has been the publisher, and what's the amount of books that have been bought and sold since then? I think is it 7,000 or is it 700, 7,000? I forgot. Regina was just sent an email. Over 7,000, yes. Over 7,000 NTI books. Thank you so much, Phil Frisk. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Regina Dorkes. And, you know, if you're really here to be truly helpful, it will always be given to you how to be truly helpful. You won't know where it's coming from. You won't know. But it will be given to you. Yeah. I'm going to just wind up by saying I thank Jacqueline Eckhart for asking me to be here to be truly helpful. And that was pretty much what I was very happy to do. I see Glory Wells, Rev Glory here, and that was another one of the things. So whenever I look back on my life at some of the things that I can remember, I always remember the things where I was truly helpful. I remember hearing Rev Glory had just become a minister, a reverend. She had just been ordained, and I heard her say, "I really want to be a minister." And when I heard her, it was, I guess, part of my nature is I hear someone who's just perfectly ready, and I got in touch with Regina. I said, "Regina, please have Rev Glory take my place on the first Sunday of every month." And I know that everybody here, including myself, who listens to Rev Glory all the time, is so happy that she is the minister the first Sunday of every month. She is such a powerful teacher for God. With that, I'm just going to turn this mic back over to Lynn, play some music, as this is a good opportunity for a donation. We have a whole hour ahead, which of course is our fellowship hour. For any questions and answers, I'll be here for a while. If you feel in any way you want to donate to awakening-together.org, please do. This is a good time to do it. Lynn Johnson, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much, everyone.
I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my faith, the light the darkness most fear. Wasn't ever after.